Morning. Today's daf should be daf hey in Horios. We are behind. We're back on daf dal amud aleph, and we're starting at the two dots.
It's okay.
The Mishnah back on daf gimel amud beis talked about a retraction of Bathan. Bathan came out with a psak and then retracted from the psak, realizing that what they said was totally wrong, erroneous. And the discussion in the Mishnah was, what becomes of the people who still follow the psak of the Beis Din? So the Rabbi Kiva brings down what it seems to be a sensible position, which is, look, if they didn't hear about the retraction, you can't fault them, right? They didn't hear about the retraction. And although there is a discussion in the Mishnah, that's somewhat of a debate in the Mishnah, but Rabbi Kiva's position seems to be, it's easiest to understand. Let's say it like that. And then the Mishnah goes on to discuss what exactly is considered an erroneous psak, which we'll get to later on this morning. But meanwhile, the Gemara notes exactly what I just said. Amalo benaza, maishnam in yoshef. Now, back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva also made a distinction. Look, if he's traveling on a journey, certainly you can't fault him. Right? It's not reasonable. In other words, he's traveling. He didn't hear that Beis Din retracted from the psak. He still followed the psak of Beis Din. He did what he thought was the right thing. So you can't fault him. So Shabbat Kamale Rabbi Kiva le Ben Azai. So the Gemara points out, yeah, that's good. That's a good point that Rabbi Kiva makes to Ben Azai. Amar Rabbi Hechzik Baderchi Kabeinah. The Gemara says, Rabbi says there's a subtle difference between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Azai, and that's Hechzik Laderech. Le Ben Azai Chayev, Da Habe Vei Seisa. Le Rabbi Kiva Part Da Hechzik Baderech. So this difference between the two of them, which is very subtle, goes like this. According to Rabbi Kiva, once you set out to go on a journey, so that's it. You cannot then be... You could still excuse yourself and say, look, I didn't know that Beis Din corrected themselves, I'm going on a journey. What do you mean you're going on a journey? You didn't leave your house yet. Yeah, I know I didn't leave my house yet, but I'm planning to leave my house. This is what he calls Hichzik Baderech. So Hichzik Baderech, your mindset is totally on your journey. Think about the day that you're ready to travel, right? Everyone on that day when they're ready to travel. So it's hard to think about anything else. You're thinking about what you pack, you think about what you forget you're going to pack. You know you're going to forget something to pack, so that's called Hechzik Baderech. So Rabbi Kiva says, that is excusable, that is a legitimate justification of why you didn't hear that Beis Din retracted from their psak. And Ben Azai disagrees on that very point. Horolo Beis Din Lakros Kol Aguf. Okay, we move on to the discussion in the Gemara now about what is considered an erroneous psak. So what the Mishnah taught us is that, let's say Beis Din comes out and says something like, you know what, there's no such thing as Nida. Nida doesn't exist in the Torah. So they're taking the entire body of law of the Torah and they just simply dismiss it. How they even can make that kind of error in judgment is hard to imagine, right? As fallible as they are, as human as they are. But that's, right, it's difficult to understand, but the Mishnah entertains that, and the Mishnah says that's not an erroneous psak. Meaning that if they came out and said, no, there's no Nida in the Torah, and then every husband slept with his wife while she was in Nida, following the Psak of the Beis Din, that's not eligible for Par Halam Davar, because that's not a Horah, that's not a ruling. A ruling has to be a prat, a detail in one of the halachas. The Gemara speaks this out. Horah lo Beis Din Lakros Kol Aguf. Tan Rabbanan. And Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa gives us play-by-play action in the Pasuk that describes and brings us to this very conclusion. V'ne'alam davar v'lo shi'akra mitzvah kula. The Pasuk says, V'ne'alam davar, and not she'loi v'lo shi'akra kula, not where they uproot the entire mitzvah. Kula ketzad, I'm sorry, it's a mitzvah kula. Ketzad. Examples would go like this. Amrei nida b'tara, ain't Shabbos b'tara, ain't avodas kochavim b'tara. So if they come out and say, there's no such thing as Nida, there's no such thing as Avodah Zarah, there's no such thing as Shabbos, Yachu Yu Chayavim Tamalam Avinelam Davar Veloshi Tesalem Mitzvah Kula, not to uproot the entire mitzvah. Hare Elu Peturim Avul Amru Yesh Nida Peturah. However, here are good examples, and nothing's good about this, this is all erroneous psak of the Beis Din, but these are examples where we would qualify for the Par Halam Davar. Let's say they agree, there's Nida, Nida exists Peturah, Aval Habal Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, but as man who has relations with his wife while she's Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, I'll explain what that means in just a little bit. Potter, if that's their psak, or Yeshabes Petara Va'amotim Rishus Yachle Rishus Harabim Potter, or carrying on Shabbos is okay, the rest of Shabbos is Shabbos, but the carrying on Shabbos is okay. There is something called the Avodah Zarah, but you're allowed to bow to Avodah Zarah. Just the other things you're not allowed to do with Avodah Zarah. Period. Okay, so that is the Braisa, and the Braisa, without giving us much Svara, just giving us Drasha, and even the Drasha that it gives us is going to be difficult, explains to us exactly what the Mishnah told us, that the whole ruling, a horah, has to be a prat, a detail in the mitzvah. Okay, so Amar Mar. So now we go over the Braisa, and there's certain parts of the Braisa that are just very difficult to understand. For example, Yachul Yupiturim, the Braisa says, I might have thought that they would have been pater. Meaning, at one step of the Braisa entertains the idea that Yachul Yupiturim, I might have thought he'd be pater, if Basin comes out with a erroneous ruling on a detail, I might have thought they would have been potter. So the Gemara says that at that point in the Braisa, pause and think about it. So now at this stage of the Braisa, here's where we're at. If Basin says there's no Nida, there's no Shabbos, okay, no Parhelm Davar. If they say there is Nida, but a detail in the halachas of Nida is okay, there's also no Parhelam Davar. If that's the point of the Braisa where we're at, when is there ever Parhelam Davar? Right? There just simply won't be a scenario. So, B'mai Chayavin. So, when would you be Chayav? So, the Gemara says you're misunderstanding the Braisa. That's not the point of the Braisa. Tana hachi kakashale. Ema davar kula milsa mashma. So, what the Braisa wants to suggest at that stage of the Braisa is that when it says Davar, Davar means an entire entity. Maybe, no, a detail is not going to be enough. Maybe they have to err on an entire mitzvah because the word Davar seems to suggest an entire matter. That's what the Braisa is generating. That Davar doesn't mean an entire mitzvah, it means a detail within a mitzvah. Okay. And then the Gemara goes on to the next part, which is, how did you get that? How did you know that davar means a detail in the matter? My mashma. So on this question, the Gemara is going to bring down a number of opinions. Amr ula karibe v'nelam mi davar. Well, here's how you're going to read the pasuk. You're going to read it v'nelam mi davar, from the matter. Now, Rashi over here explains, and this is both cute and a little bit strange. I don't know where, I don't have a precedent for this. But Rashi says, you know what you do over here? The pasuk reads v'nelam davar. What we're going to do is we're going to take that mem at the end of v'nelam, and we're going to attach it to the next word. Now it's so funny. A good bar mitzvah teacher is going to tell the kid always make sure to make breaks between the words so that the letter doesn't spill into the next word. And the Gemara says, no, do it. exactly what your bar mitzvah teacher told you not to do. That's what I want you to do. So v'nelam. In other words, and don't pause, v'nelam davar. So that mem sound can go on the word davar, so it could read v'nelam mi davar. Again, this is Creek Siv. This is not really how the pasuk is read, of course, but just in the world of drash, we allow for such manipulation of the letters. Chizkia amar amakrav asachas mikol mitzvos. Mikol mitzvos v'lo kol mitzvos. Okay, here it's a little bit clear. It says mikol mitzvos, from the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, but the word mitzvos in plural, mitzvos tarti mashma amar abnach b'yitzchak mitzvas ksiv. You're right. When I pronounced the mitzvos in plural, but as it's written, it could be pronounced mitzvos, and that's another way to generate it. One more opinion. Rav Ashi amar yalav davar davar mizakam amrei. Yechsiv beis bezakam amrei now. We're going to make a correlation between here and Zakeh Mamre. By Zakeh Mamre, it says, Ki yaflem encha davar, lo sasur min hadavar, ashir yigil lecha yamin asfal. Ma Mamre min hadavar. Now, by Mamre, the Torah couldn't be any clearer. In order to be Zakeh Mamre is a elder who is part of Beis Din, disagrees with the ruling of Beis Din, right? Even though Beis Din ruled and was a majority rule, goes back to his hometown, and still disagrees with Beis Din even after he was part of the ruling, and even though he was a rejected minority position, goes back home and says, look, I'm still right, he's a Zaken Mamre, Chayv Misa, we learned about in Sanhedrin, and here the Torah couldn't be any clearer. it's mina davar. For him to be eligible to be a zaken mamre, he has to disagree on a prat, on a detail in the mitzvah, not the mitzvah itself. So mina davar v'lo kol davar af b'hora'a davar v'lo kol agof. Okay? So we learned it through a gzera shava. Good. So far what we've established, we didn't learn any new information, but we saw a b'raisa, and we learned how to darshan the psukim. But basically, it comes out to be the same like we said in the Mishnah. In order to be eligible for the Par Halam Davar, Beis Din has to come out with a ruling for a detail, not negate an entire mitzvah. Okay, next. What happened? Where did I go? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Thank you. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ein Beis Din Chayavim Achiyara B'Davar Shein Etzukim Mod Nimbo. Another halacha. In order for it to be a ruling, it has to be something outside of Chumash. Okay. But if it's something stukim or modimbo, then you would be potter. Now, the Gemara uses this terminology of davar shat stukim modimbo, stukim, group of people in the academic world, they're called Sadducees. They don't buy into Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Chsav they're into, Torah Shabbat Peh they're out. And by the way, when we say Torah Shabbat Chsav, they're into all of Sifrei Tanakh, as will become evident through this Gemara's discussion coming up. See? So these are the tzedukim. If it's something that the tzedukim say, yeah, we're into, like we understand that, we see that, and based in rules against that, that's not a hora. That's not a psak. And the Gemara gives a very simple svar. My time is zil kari bei ravhu. Because there, I don't need based in. Right? If it's something that's written in the psukim, and I can open up a chumash on my own, or as the Gemara says, I can call over a school child and say, you know what? What's the pasuk over there? That's not a hora. That's not a ruling. Therefore, not eligible for the Par Halam Davar. Par Halam Davar has to be on a hora, on a ruling of Beis Din. Something straight out of chumash is not a ruling. Tanan. So the Gemara says, let's see if this is correct. Okay. So. This is not something that's said in the Mishnah. This is something said by Rabbi Huram Shmuel. And the Gemara now is going to see whether or not his position is in fact supportable by a Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Yeshnida b'torah bal ha'bal shamash yom keneged yom pater. So, the Mishnah talks about, we're based on issue the following. Nida, yes. But not shamash yom keneged yom. Okay. Quickly, let's just give a quick synopsis so we understand what's going on over here. Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, what is that? Min HaTorah. Everything I'm going to tell you right now is Min HaTorah. Okay? When we learn the Masechta Nida, which is just a short year and a half from now, you'll see that the halacha that we follow does not follow the Torah exactly, but not for now. For now, we're just going to learn the halachas Min HaTorah. A woman starts bleeding as she's expected to, in other words, in her inner scheduled time. So that's called damnida, right? That's called menstrual blood. And for the next 7 days, whether she bleeds or whether she doesn't bleed, she's a nida. Okay. At the end of the 7 days, again, all this is minatara, like I want to keep putting out disclaimers, okay? But this is all minatara. At the end of her 7 days, at the conclusion of the 7 days, on the eve of the 8th day, she told us in the mikvah, she goes back home and she's now permissible to her husband. Good. The next 11 days that come out after that are what's called the Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva, the word Zav actually means the flow. She really is not expected to see any blood during those days. Those are just simply days in which the natural course of her biology is such that she's not expected to bleed. Okay. Really will give new meaning to the number 7-11. Every time you pass it, you really will. you'll never see it the same way again. I promise. Okay, and those are the next 11 days. If she bleeds during any one of those next 11 days, she's now a zava katana, minor zava, but she's a zava. What she must do at that point in time is wait one clean day. She is now called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, hence the terminology Shomeres Yom. She waits a day, Keneged Yom, opposite the one day that she bled during her Yemei Zava. Okay, that's all we need to know for now. There's more halachas. If she bleeds 2 days, if she bleeds 3 consecutive days, she becomes a Zava Gedola, she can Shiva Nikiyim. Okay, but enough for now. In other words, that's just enough information. Good. Now when she's a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, so now what our Gemara is telling us in Horios is that if Beis Din comes out and says, Nida, yes, but Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. Meaning that if she bleeds during those middle 11 days, it's okay. The husband can have relations with her. Right? That's the ruling of Beis Din. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, let's check this. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, you said that if it's written in Chumash, it's not a Hora'ah. Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, written in Chumash. So the Gemara says, "Vamai Shomer Yom Keneged Yom Haksiv Safra La Melamish Sefers Achad La Achad." So the Gemara says it's straight out of Chumash. We have a pasuk that clearly states that she needs to wait one day when she bleeds during her Yemei Zava. Okay, so this really challenges Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara, in defense of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, suggests the following: the Amrei Ha'ara Sharye Gemar Bi Yehuda Asira. So the ruling of Beis Din on this issue is that Ha'ara is acceptable. It's the Gemar Bia that the Torah forbids, right? The Torah describes Bia, the act of relations, in basically one of two ways. Either Ha'ara, which is partial penetration, or Gemar Bia, which is full penetration. Now, we know the halacha is. Now, Torah Shabbat Peh. We know the halacha is that Ha'ara, partial penetration, is Bia. Right? In other words, it defines itself as Bia. So the rule, but that's not mentioned anywhere in Chumash, which in a moment I'm going to modify. So what the ruling of the Beis Din is that Ha'ara is acceptable for Shomer Shom Keneged Yom. So the Gemara says, wait a second, that's also in Chumash. Anamiksiv es mikora Ha'ara. It's straight out of Chumash where the Torah tells us that he partially penetrated. Now, you got to do your homework over here on these Gemaras, because you look at that pasuk of Es Mekora Ha'ara, that's not talking about Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, that's talking about Nida. Okay, and that's important to realize, and you'll see that comes up later in just a moment. So the Amri, so the Gemara says, fine. Okay, so you're right. Partial penetration is mentioned in Chumash. So, but you know what isn't mentioned in Chumash? Kedarka Asura Shelo Kedarka Sharia. So the ruling of Beis Din is that regular relations is prohibited, but Bia Shelo Kedarka, right, anal intercourse, that is permissible. That's the ruling that comes out of Beis Din, and the Gemara says that's not explicitly mentioned in Chumash. That requires a Pesach of Beis Din. That should be the case that we're discussing. So the Gemara says, again, that's also not true. Haksiv Mishkevei Isha. The Torah says Mishkevei Isha. The Torah describes that in terms of homosexuality. And the Torah describes that as Mishkevei Isha. And the Gemara learns out from there that both natural and unnatural Bia is considered Bia. So again, the Torah goes back and says that's also explicitly mentioned in Chumash. Darmi Kedarka Asar, Afil Ha'ara, B'shalo Kedarka Gemar Bia Hudasar, Ava Ha'ara Sharya. So the Gemara says, and this is obviously very, very, aside from it's a dochik, it's a fourth answer in the Mishnah, but also think about now the level of precision that we're describing over here. We're now describing partial penetration in an unnatural manner. Okay? So, Ihachi, the Gemara says, if that's the Pesach of Beis Din, why are you talking about Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? Meaning, the whole point that we're making over here is that Beis Din ruling is that any woman who is an erva to you, who's forbidden to you, so if you have partial penetration in an unnatural way, that the Basin's ruling is that's acceptable, that's okay. Again, totally erroneous. But what we're looking for is a case that's not explicitly mentioned in Chumash. All the Gemara now wants to know is, why are you picking on Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? That would be true by any one of the Arayas. Next question, the Gemara. Ihachi afilu nida nami. It'd be true even by Nida. Ela la'olam kedarka. So the Gemara says, okay. So let's scale back. We are now talking about regular bia. Udaami ha'ara bi'isha davahu dechsiv. I'm sorry. Udaami ha'ara bi'isha davahu dechsiva. Okay, and the Gemara says like this. You know, you're right. We're talking about regular relations, and the ruling of Beis Din is that partial penetration is acceptable. Now the Gemara, we'll go back to the Gemara's question. Isn't that explicitly mentioned in the Torah? Only by Nida. Only by a nida is the Torah say that partial penetration is considered bia. Without the Torah, without Torah Shabbat Peh, you could have understood that partial penetration by Shemar Yom Keneged Yom is permissible. Now we know it's not. We know that Ha'ara is bia throughout all the arayas in the Torah. But that we know through Torah Shabbat Peh. Based and sits there, case came in front of them, and they ruled that partial penetration by Shemar Yom Keneged Yom is mutter. That's a ruling, because that's not explicitly mentioned in Chumash. Okay.
It wouldn't necessarily be logical that why would it be defined differently?
But you're right. Correct. In other words, it is a
Just not ksuba mitor.
That's all. Or the Gemara says, look, let's go down a whole different avenue. Okay. We could also say, again, what we're trying to achieve over here, our goal over here is to find how Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel can learn our Mishnah. He maintains that in order for it to be a psak, it can be written in Chumash. Okay? So, otherwise, it's not a psak. Okay. So, one case that we have now arrived at is the ruling of the Beis Din is partial penetration by Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, which is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Okay? That's answer number one. Gemara suggests now another answer and a totally different approach. The second answer of the Gemara is the Army Zava lo havia ella biyamama. You know when she becomes a Zava only if she bleeds during the day. Why? Dichsiv kol yamei Zava. All the days of her Zava. Now again, that doesn't have to be the pshat in the pasuk. Yamei Zava could just simply mean those 11 days after she is a Nida. Right? But you could, if you're a Tzeduki, you could read the pasuk yamei Zava meaning only daytime. She only becomes a Zava during daytime. And therefore, maybe Basic came out with the following ruling. If she bleeds at night during those 11 days, she's not a Zava. That's the ruling of Basic. Not, doesn't go directly against the Chumash. So this is not something that Hashatz Dugam Modim Bo. Good. So this is eligible to be a Hora.
Actually, we find Yemei Mishta Besimcha.
Correct, correct. Absolutely. Very good. Very good. And that's daytime. And that's only daytime. Yesh Shabbos b'Torah. And we're going to do the same exercise again. Okay? So we are going to see how Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel can read our Mishnah with his Chiddush that has to be something that's not explicitly mentioned in Torah. Okay? So let's do it again. Yesh Shabbos b'Torah v'amotz m'shosur shos pater. V'amai hotzah ha-ksiva. So hotzah is written in the Torah. Where is Hotzah written in the Torah? Yirmiyahu. This goes back to what I said earlier. That when we say the Tzdukim, and they only buy into Torah Shebichtav, it's all of Tanakh. Right? So this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that talks about the Malach of Hotzah. Good. It qualifies. Meaning the Tzdukim buy into Sefer Yirmiyahu. It's just Torah Shabbat Peh that they're not into. So, Haksiva lo sosia masa mibatechem, the Torah says explicitly, you're not allowed to carry something out of your house. So that's the Malach of Hotzah mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Amri Hotzah Udas Achnas Amuter. So one suggestion of the Gemara is that the ruling of Beis Din is, yeah, you're not allowed to take something out of your house, but you're allowed to bring something into your house. Now again, that's a Malacha. That's part of the Malach of Hotzah, but it's not mentioned in the Torah. Oh, so therefore it qualifies as Hora. Ibai Zem, another suggestion of the Gemara says, the Amri Hotzah Achnas Udasira. Moshit v'zorek shari. All right, you remember Masechta Shabbos? We talked about how passing from one rishus to another rishus is a malacha. We talked about how throwing something from one rishus to another rishus is a malacha. Neither of those are mentioned explicitly in Chumash. And meanwhile, Beis Din comes out and says that it's okay. Good. That would also qualify. We're going to do this one more time. Tanan Geshavodas Kochav Matar Meshach Vepater. Ve'amai Meshach Ve'aksiva Dichsiv Lo Sishtach Ve'la El Acher. Bowing to an idol is explicitly mentioned in Chumash. How is Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel going to read our Mishnah? The Amri Ki Asiri Shachavai Kedarka Vashlo Kedarka Sharya. So one answer of the Gemara is, I might have thought bowing is only an act of avoda if that's normal. But as Rashi brings down the examples of Baal Peor and Markulis, it's not normal to bow down to those things. There's other ways to worship them. Right? Throw stones, defecate. So, maybe Beis Din came out with a ruling, you're allowed to bow to Baal Peor. You're allowed to bow to Markulis. So again, that now defines itself as a Hora, because that's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Another suggestion: or suggests the Gemara, limited bowing, meaning that I might have thought the Torah, when the Torah says that bowing is aser, it means real bowing, getting down on the floor, hands spread out, feet spread out, being totally parallel, horizontal with the floor. That's ishtachavaya. But if it's just a little bending of the body, that's not ishtachavaya. And that's not, now again, it's asur, but it would qualify as a hora because that's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Okay. By Rav Yosef. Good. The Gemara successfully defended Rav Yehuna Mar Shmua. A hora has to be something that is not mentioned in the Torah. Okay. By Rav Yosef, in Charisha b'Shabbos Mahal, what if Beis Din comes out with the following pesach? Gentlemen, you're allowed to plow on Shabbos. Okay, does that qualify as a hora? Mi amrin kevin to come mod bechulu ka milsa de kibito mixas bekiyam mitzvos dami o delma kevin to ka akrein leila Charisha. Call Iker ka akiras guv dami. What's the question over here? It goes like this. Now we know, of course, there are 39 malachas on Shabbos. Okay, but maybe if Beis Din says that Charisha is permitted, maybe that's like uprooting an entire mitzvah of the Torah. Meaning, what the Gemara is entertaining now is that really we should treat each malacha as an independent mitzvah. It's like it's each its own separate unit. And if Beis Din says there's no Charisha in the Torah, so one way to look at it is, oh, that's part of Shabbos. Okay, that's one way to look at it. And therefore it would be considered a hora. On the other hand, no. Charisha is its own independent body, corpus of law, and therefore it's not considered a hora. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The answer to that seems to be pretty clear. Tashma, yeshni debetar vahabal shamar siyam kenege jam pater. One of the examples that the Mishnah talked about was there's nida, but there's not shomer yom keneged yom. The amai ha'akirin l'shomer yom keneged yom kol ikar. Now shomer yom keneged yom, you could have looked at it as its own separate unit. You could have, but clearly the Mishnah doesn't. The Mishnah views shomer yom keneged yom as part of the body of law of nida. So the Gemara says, Amlecha Rav Yosef shomer yom dekamrina kideshanina. So the Gemara says, well, look, when they said Shomer Yom Keneged Yom is Mutter, let's go back to what we learned about 5 minutes ago. Maybe they came out with a ruling like we discussed on the previous page. Not that all Shomer Yom Keneged Yom is Mutter, but partial penetration in an unnatural way. What if she bleeds during the night as opposed to during the day? Meaning it's not that they're rejecting Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, they're rejecting a detail within Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Tashma, the Gemara is going to do this again. Yeh Shabbos b'Torah, ava hamotzim reshus yachlu reshus rabbin pater, v'amai ha'akir la'otziah kol ikar. The Gemara says, well, in the Mishnah gave the example of them uprooting hotza'ah, and meanwhile it's considered not its own separate unit, but part of Shabbos. Again, ha'samnami kiddushaninan. Good. We'll go back to what we said also 5 minutes ago. They didn't say hotza'ah is a mutter. They said hotza'ah, either bringing something into the house is mutter, it's just taking something out which is usher, or they said throwing is mutter, but carrying is usher, right? Tashma, the Gemara says, let's do that one more time. Yeshavot is kochamim b'torah aval hamishtachaveh pater v'amai ha'akyan lishtachaveh kol ikar. Again, aren't they uprooting, bowing altogether? Amrei shachaveh nami kiddushaninun. And the Gemara says, no, they're not. Again, they could go back to what we said 5 minutes ago. Maybe the ruling is being lying down on the ground, that's usher, but just a simple bending of the body, that's mutter. Okay. So, by Rav Zera. So, on the question of Rav Yosef, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Rav Zera's question. By Rav Zera. Ein Shabbos b'shvias mahu. What if Beis Din comes out with the following ruling? You know, we have a 7-year cycle. On the 7th year, Shemitah. You don't work the land. What if Beis Din comes out, issues the following ruling? For 6 years, you need to keep Shabbos. But on the 7th year, during the Shemitah year, you don't have to worry about Shabbos, right? You get a break from Shabbos. Okay, so a temporary, it's a full year, but in a 7-year cycle, a temporary suspension of Shabbos. Is that considered uprooting the entire Shabbos? Or is that considered uprooting a detail in Shabbos? Right? Great question. Right? If I say that there's a temporary suspension of a mitzvah, is that like I'm uprooting the entire mitzvah? Or no? Do I look at the totality of the picture and say, look, Beis Din's basically into Shabbos. It's just that for just a time, a small period of time, they said no Shabbos. Now, why would they make such an error? Meaning, what's that based on? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So the Gemara says, you know what they did? They made a mistake with the following pasuk. Pasuk says, "Becharish uvekatsir tishbos." Bezman deika charisha ika Shabbos. So bezman deika charisha like a Shabbos. Well, you know, you're not allowed to plow during the seventh year, and the Torah seems to link together plowing and resting. So when plowing is usur, resting is usur or required. But right.
No.
Right. But when in a time period like during the seventh year where plowing is forbidden, so then you don't have to, there's no requirement to rest. So that's their mistake. Okay, fine. Again, going back to the question, is this part of the mitzvah or is this considered the totality of the mitzvah? Gemara just articulates the question. Amar Ravina Tashma. Navish and Isnavila Kor Davar Midvar Torah, Midivre Torah, Chayav. Levito Mixas, Ulkim Mixas, Rishiman Omer Potter, Uva Avaris Kochavim, Afila Amar Hayomov de la Machabala, Chayav. A Navi, who comes out and says, some parts of the Torah are still in force, but some parts of the Torah are not in force. So, this is called a Navi Sheker. Such an individual is put to death. Right? See Parshas Shoftim. For that. So, included in this halacha of Navi Sheker is if he says, you know, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, today we worship Avodah Zarah, but tomorrow we don't. Right? Chayav, that is a Navi Sheker. Shema mina, in Shabbos b'shvi'ez, kibitl mixas hayom, v'kiyum mixas dami. So, you see over here that is, it's not considered a partial. It's considered an entire unit, and so therefore, if Beis Din says that there's going to be a temporary suspension of Shabbos, it's not a partial. It's considered its own. It's considered an entire unit, and that does not qualify as a hora. Period. Okay.
Well, what if the entire unit doesn't require a partial?
Because a ruling of Beis Din means that Beis Din has to acknowledge the mitzvah and then get something wrong within the mitzvah. If they just simply take a whole mitzvah and just cut it out, that's not a psak halacha. That's not a ruling. It just simply doesn't qualify.
So we need to accept it.
Right. It's something along those lines. Right. Next Mishnah. Haru beizdin v'yada chamem shetal. Okay? We go back to the most uncomfortable situation, right? One of the more, right, it's like an itchy moment where a member of Beis Din knows, wow, they made a mistake. So Beis Din comes out with a ruling, and one of them knows that Beis Din made a mistake. Va'amar lahem, and he turns to Beis Din and he says to him, Tohem atem, you guys made a mistake. O shalo haya mufla shal Beis Din sham, or the leader of Beis Din, right? What the Mishnah calls the mufla. The mufla is the undisputed heavyweight champion of Beis Din, right? The head of Beis Din, the Av Beis Din, I guess we'll say, Osha Ya'echa Mehem Ger, or Mamzer, or Nesin, or Zakin, or one of the members of Beis Din is just simply not qualified, he's a convert, he is a Mamzer, he's a Nesin, or he's a Zakin, all disqualified to serve on the Beis Din Hagadol. By the way, some of them can serve on the lower courts, simply cannot serve on the Beis Din Gadol. Shiroi Lo Shalo Roi Le Banim, or member of Beis Din who is unable to father a child, Hareze Pater. In all these cases in the Mishnah, it would be Pater. Meaning we're not eligible for Par Halam Davar simply because this was not a Hora'ah. Doesn't qualify as a ruling, as is some of the members of Beis Din are disqualified to in fact rule.
But the ruling still requires a Chata suffering, right?
Hmm?
But the individual still has to bring one, right?
The individual, right, and then the, Yeah, presumably, right.
So the Aved Dina should always be present before we...
Correct. Shenemar Khan Eda Venemar La'ala Neda Ma'eda Amur La'ala Kula Ru'in La'ora Af Eda Amur Khan Ashi Kulan Ru'in La'ora, they all have to be eligible for Hora. Okay. Oshalo Hayamufla Shabbat and Shami Nalan. The Gemara says, how do I know that that's true? I'm Rav Sheshes V'chein Tana De Be'er Avishma Mimnei Ma'amur Hora B'davar Shadzduk and Modin Ba'aptur Mimnei Shayelam Loma V'lo Lamdu. So the Gemara says, look, let's go back to the halacha that we discussed earlier this morning. If they said something that contradicts something that is blatantly in Chumash, that's not a ruling. Why? Because that's not a ruling. Not a good explanation. But because you open up a Chumash and you see the Chumash tells you otherwise. So by definition, that's not a hora. So lo haya mufla shabbat nisham nami patur mimnei shaya lam lo mavo lamdu. If the mufla is not there, it's like there's not a chumash there. Right? Interesting.
It's
right, just like right, just like a chumash is there to blatantly say to the beis din, what are you doing? It's written in me, as if the chumash is talking. It's written in me X Y Z. You can't contradict that. And even if you do, that's not a ruling. Same thing with a mufla shabbat beis din. Right, if the Mufla Shabbat Beis Din was there, he'd look at them and say, "That's not accurate. That's not correct." So anything they say without him also isn't considered a ruling.
Like
Dibrei Rava, Dibrei Talmid. Right, right. Kulam Ruuyin Lahara. Thank the Gemara based on Gzeira Shava. They'll have to be Roy Lahara. The Hasa Minalan Damer Rav Chisda Makravi Yisatzu Sham Imach. Torah says regarding those members, the original members of Beis Din, who were with Moshe, they're with Moshe, imach b'dom amlach. Similar to Moshe, meaning fit and eligible to serve. Ve'em ha'imach l'shechina, maybe the imach means with the shechina. El amar amnach, ba yitzchak amakra, benasu itach, itach b'dom amlach. You will carry them with you, meaning those who are similar to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Next Mishnah. Hod debeis v'shogigim v'asu kol akal shogigim. Now, In order to qualify for the Par Helam Davar, Beis Din has to make a mistake. Okay, this Mishnah is so strange. Beis Din has to make a mistake, obviously. Beis Din is not interested in deliberately leading the Jewish people astray, right? So the whole Parsha of Par Helam Davar is only going on a case where Beis Din, it was a mistake. It was erroneous. So, Horu based in Shogigim, but Asu Kol Akal Shogigim, and the entire congregation also did it Shogig. Again, obviously, Mivian Par. That's the case where it's Mivian Par. However, Mizidim Vasu Shogigim, Mivian Kisva V'Seira, Shogigim Vasu Mizidin Hare Elu Peturim. Mishnah discusses one of the. It's just a strange Mishnah. Mishnah discusses the following. What if Beis Din is mazed? Okay? Which means Beis Din came out and gave an erroneous psak and they knew it. They knew they were giving an erroneous psak. That doesn't qualify for the Par Helam Davar. Now, of course, the Mishnah is extraordinarily technical. Meaning, the whole point the Mishnah is making is that this erroneous psak has to be b'shogeg. It has to be a mistake. If it's not a mistake, if it was deliberate on the part of Beis Din, so then it doesn't qualify for the Par Helam Davar. But if you stop, pause, and think about it for a moment, you realize what the Mishnah is saying is that, not that it did happen, but the Mishnah is just simply even entertaining the idea that there is such a Beis Din which is, you know, corrupted to the point where they're issuing a wrong psak, right?
Intentionally.
I don't...
Would each member of Beis Din have to bring a chatas?
No. This is not the point of the Mishnah. Is that there's no eligibility for a chatas because this is not unintentional. Well, this was totally intentional.
The communal.
And the community. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. It could. Could be that, and it could be. I'll be honest. It could be that the Mishnah only wrote that in order to get to the contrast case. Meaning that the Mishnah's next point is Mezidim Vasu Shogigim, right? Shogigim Vasu Mezidim. So it could be that as well. Right? It just, if you pause and think about it, it's just very strange what the Mishnah is actually saying. Beis Din is deliberately giving an incorrect psak. Anyway, but the point of the Mishnah, Mezidim Vasu Shogigim Mezidim Kisva V'Seira. So if the people are Shogeg, So they can't now blame it on Beis Din because Beis Din did not give an erroneous psak by accident. That was intentional. So it's not on Beis Din, it's on them. They have to bring Kisva V'Sira. Shogigim V'Asim Azidim. Let's say Beis Din came out with a wrong psak and everybody knew it. Right? We knew it. We knew the psak of Beis Din was wrong. And even though we knew the psak of the Beis Din was wrong, we said, okay, doesn't matter. We're going to follow it anyway. Ari Elu Peturim, not eligible for the Par Helm Dover. Par Helm Dover is only under the circumstance where Beis Din came out with erroneous psak, and the people not knowing better, thinking legitimately, Beis Din knows what they're doing, follow the psak of Beis Din, then and only then are the people eligible, is the community eligible for Par Helm Dover.
They didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Right. Right, and that's why Par Helm Dover. Shogging of Asim Azidim Harel Paturim Hashogig Dumi the Mazin Chayev Hechidami Shaharu Bezin Shechelev Mutter. The Gemara entertains the following case. Let's say Bezin says Chelev is Mutter. Okay? And Beneschav Lo Beshaman V'achlam. Now you sit down for a meal, and now you know the Pesach of Bezin, the Chelev is Mutter. You sat down, you didn't even think this was Chelev. Meaning you thought that this was Shuman. So you ate it thinking it was Shuman, even though Beis Din already came out with the Pesach and said that Chelev is Mutter. So it seems from the Mishnah, it's a Diyuk in the Mishnah, that under those circumstances, you yourself would be Chayiv to bring a Karban Chatas. Lema Tishod Hadda by Rami Bar Chama. Now if you remember, just a couple days ago, we were entertaining this very question. So the Gemara now is suggesting, why can't you learn it from a diuk on our Mishnah? Am lachamishim the Tana Reishim Mizidim Vasu Shogigim Tana Seif Shogigim Vasu Mizidim. Gemara says, don't make the diuk on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah writes it for the purposes of symmetry, not for the purposes of making a diuk. And sometimes that's how Mishnahs work. And so therefore, don't take out your magnifying glass and start really going over every single word of our Mishnah. It could be that it just did that for the purpose of symmetry. Okay, let's begin the next Mishnah. Let's get through the Mishnah. Good. We have now been discussing for the past 3 days the idea of a Par Helam Davar. Now, in the world of Par Helam Davar, we know that in order for it to happen, Beis Din has to come out with an erroneous ruling. The majority of the Jewish people have to follow the erroneous ruling, and then there's one bull that's brought who pays for it, subject to a debate, comes out of the operating budget, comes out, a new assessment is made, subject to a debate, but one bull that's brought. Okay, we say the majority of the Jewish people. We already learned that it has to be only the Jewish people living in Israel. Those who live outside of Israel do not count. Okay? Fine. Hodu beitim v'asu kol akal. O ruban alpiyam mevim parva abodis kochavim mevim parva si'ir divra meir. Okay, everything I just described is the opinion of Rav Meir. And by the way, if the ruling was about Avodah Zarah, the Karban is slightly different. It's Par U'Si'ir. Okay, because it's learned from a different Parsha in Chumash, found in Parsha Shlach. Okay. Good. Rav Yehuda Omer, Yud Beis Shvatim Mevi'in, Yud Beis Parim. According to Rav Yehuda, each tribe is a community. And so therefore, if the entire Jewish people sinned, there are going to be 12 parim. And in the Avodah Zarah, it's going to be 12 parim and 12 se'irim. Good. A third opinion, top of Hamad Aleph. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yud Gimel parim of Avodah Kochav and Shlosha Asa parim, the Yud Gimel se'irim par v'sir l'chol shevet, par u'sir l'beizdin. The third opinion is yes. Yes and yes. Yes, the one par for the entire Jewish people, and yes, one par for each particular tribe. Haru based in Vasu Zain Shvatim Aruban Alpiyim. What if seven tribes or the majority of the Jewish people follow the ruling of Beis Din? Mivi and par v'avarzko chamimi mivi a par v'sir divra mayor. So according to a mayor, it's simple. You have a majority, one bull. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Zain Shvatim Shechatim Mivi and Zain Par v'shar Shvatim Shlochatim Mivi and Aydei and Par Shav Elu Shlochatim Mivi and Aydei Chotin. So we're going to learn something new within Rabbi Yehuda. Now we already know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, each tribe is considered a kahal. So if seven tribes sin, that means that's seven bulls that are brought. But here's something interesting. What about the rest of the tribes, the other five tribes?
Six.
They need, right, seven sinned.
Oh.
Right?
Yes.
So what about the other five tribes? They need to bring one bull for the people who sinned. Okay?
Just
this is a new concept in Rav Yehuda. Tomorrow we discuss it. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ches Parim Vavos Kochav Ches Parim Ches Irim. Parim still a Choshevet Shevet. Parim still a Vezdin. Fine. And according to Rabbi Shimon, yes. Yes on the individual. Yes on the entire congregation. Okay. One more point. Haru Vezdin Shal Echa Menashvatim. Okay? Much like in this country, we have a Supreme Court. I'm just giving an analogy to help us understand this. And each state also has a Supreme Court. So, structurally, based and operated the same way in Eretz Yisrael. There was a Sanhedrin HaGadol, the great Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, that served for the entire Jewish people. Each Shevet also had their own Sanhedrin. Okay? What if the Shevet, the Sanhedrin of each Shevet, gave out a ruling? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, qualifies for par helam davar. According to the Chachamim, no, the par helam davar is only based on a ruling that comes out from the Sanhedrin Hagadol. Okay. New Mishnah, essentially three opinions in terms of who qualifies as a congregation. Either the entire Jewish people, each and every Shevet, or both. Each Shevet and the entire Jewish people.
How do you determine on the Shevet? It's the majority of the people.